Hello, hello. It's that time. It is open mic time. And I hope you've all were scared straight by Joan's little speech earlier about open mic protocol. She will tackle your fucking ass and she'll take you out. So don't fuck with the open mic rules ever. All right, first up tonight, we have Lori Anderson. All right. Yeah.
After, listening to all the poets tonight, I'm like, what the hell am I doing up here? And then Joan goes, and really, it was a scare him off. I have three pages, Joan, but it's like 16 point type, and I'm gonna eliminate one stanza, okay? I'm not doing preambles to explain anything because that just adds to more. So I have two poems. The first one is from a long time ago, 1989. I wrote it just a few months after I moved here to Pittsburgh, and it was for my father's birthday. It's called Life Gifts to Dad with Love. October 21 comes soon, and I consider what I might give you. A shirt, some socks, another book, all good, all received with gratitude, but all somehow missing the point. Last week, I found deer tracks at the water's edge because you have shown me bear and deer and raccoon tracks and where a grouse bathed herself in a swirl of dust and dry leaves in the woods. I spot groundhogs and bunnies in the tall grass of the roadside and spy trout in deep, quiet pools of a stream because your quick, clear eyes have taught me where to look, how to see. I can talk fishing like others talk football because together we've trolled and spin cast for bass, stilled for perch, and jig for blues. Feel the tug, set the hook. We'll get this scrapper. Deleted stanza. I walk and drive confidently in my new city of tangled roads and bridges because I have seen you take your bearings from three tall pines barely visible in the lake's dense fog. I stand before my class of unconvinced faces without fear, eager for their attention, because I watched you, black-robed, compel the attention of congregations surrounding you. I walk a trail along a ridge and feel the tree's strength calm me. For once, I am patient, now more alert. What do you think of now on your walks alone? Your brothers are crippled, failing. Your tools are hammers, nails, and wood in straight, flat pieces transformed to houses where grandchildren and the imagination can play. My tools are words. I hammer them to fit and nail them to this page to give you this gift in return for all of your gifts to me. And the second one I started writing last week, and I was, editing this morning, so I don't know that it's finished and I don't have a title. After the lines of family and people we didn't know, all black suits and black coats and black dresses, after the funeral and crying, after the 10-hour drive from Jamestown, the four of us silent, no singing, we are home. Dad in his study is going through mail, Mom sorting dirty laundry from our hastily packed suitcases. Linda, 14 and 4 years older than me, and I sit on the steps of our wide front porch. There we can breathe. The mid-April spring air is soft and cool. Across our front lawn is Freehold's Main Street and Lincoln Place and the houses we know. The deep green leaves of the large maple tree flutter quietly in the breeze. A convertible filled with loud, laughing boys pulls up. The blonde in the front passenger seat calls out, "Is your sister dead?"
Laurie Anderson.
Yeah.
I've known Laurie a long time, like well over 30 years. I've never heard you read poems before. Thank you. That was beautiful. Like, thank you. Next up, we've got Mark Dignam. Come on down, Mark.
I had to shut off the water in my house today because the pipe broke. There's water everywhere. Plumber can't get to me till tomorrow. So essentially, I'm just here to use the bathroom. But I do have some poems. Crown is the Irish word for a tree. But I like the interplay of you're thinking about the English version of it as well. So think of crown as a tree and crown as a crown. It's my first time. I've never actually read poetry before. Usually I do songs, so I'm crapping it right now. There's the illuminated, radiant spirit, shining, glowing, animals and birds at its feet, soil holding its roots like lovers hand in hand, strolling a golden sandy seashore. Sunlight smiling, laughing down upon its fuzzy green crown. I see no doors to keep me out, no pews to point me in the one direction. I hear no booming, bellowing voice like I've heard in some of those restrictive and irritable rooms, beseeching me toward reverence, but really bullying me toward fear, coaching me to mistrust everything outside, to mistrust the outside itself. I hear none of that. I hear here a hum, a peaceful unsound sung around my body. I feel a kiss on my neck and down along my chest. I feel my face held softly. A finger run down my spine. My name is gently slipped from me. A breezy hand runs through my hair. I feel a joining. Somewhere inside, I see myself tucked into the shape from which I began. And before that, the shape I was in when I was inside the before. And I see us all there. Mothers, fathers, and children. As far back as the world can see, like this has always been the path, always been the way, always been the uncommandment to do what thou will and it harm none. That's the illuminated, radiant spirit. Thank you. This one doesn't really have a name. Well, kind of. Not today. The trees will come and claim us if we sit too still. It's not a terrible thing when the time comes, but not today, my heart. No, certainly not today. We must surely keep on moving, shake and twist and turn, for time is the ivy on the walls of all our houses, creeping ever closer, yearning to embrace, to still our busy fingers, kiss us on our face, to coax us off our road, to say our day is done, sit us in the grass, quiet our tongue. Yes, yes, time. In time you'll have your say. Just not today, my heart. Certainly not today. And I'll finish with this one. Thank you very much. Ship of dreams. When the ship of a dream gets scuttled on the rocks of the world, one must swim to shore. Catch one's breath, then begin to dream again. For ships can be rebuilt anew. For we are sailors and we are builders, but dreamers most of all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Those are gorgeous poems. Thank you. Next up, we have one of our favorite people here, Ziggy Edwards. I've got a lost beer up here. Anybody lose a beer? Mark? Okay, I got it.
Howdy. Okay, so this, I have a an online poetry venue to recommend. I just sent them these last night, and they took them and published them already. it's called Stink Eye Magazine, and they call themselves a poetry magazine for the good, the gritty, and the weird. And, I mean... I guess that's me. I don't... okay, so, reflection. Why call it the mirror, not a mirror? Unless they're all one mirror. Wherever you stand, you see the same face. Unless you're a vampire. Vampirism. That might be what it takes to step out of your own way and appreciate the towel racks and decorative shelves of your travels. Now that you've given up reflecting, you squeeze through unimpeded. A calm river could bring you to the same place. On this side, too, you must drink blood to survive. Except, aren't you immortal? Can you get blood from a mirror image? Questions that cost too much are not worth answering. Check the window for trees. You might feel more at ease as a bat hanging from a branch until it's time to head home for lunch. Going blind. I no longer wonder about the waiter or whose stuffed bear is framed in a window high above the bodega. I look away from the dog walker, the bus driver, the flower vendor, the hookers, the toothless man who stares. No neighbor exists to watch me pick my nose. No one is running for the elevator. As they recede, I become invisible. I'm limbless, floating through furniture in a vacant flat in a banished city. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ziggy. Okay, next up we have Bohar Davoodi. Did I say that right?
Thank you. It's great to read with all the everyone the lovely poems today, especially with Bonita and Nancy, my mad women instructors, my love. I'm gonna read two poems. The first one is a Pittsburgh poem. It's forthcoming in the Pittsburgh Anthology, being put together by Dorley Brooks. And it has an epigraph by Jorge Luis Borges, who who's the Argentinian poet and author, and he became the director of Buenos Aires National Library when he was blind. Okay. An encounter on Penn Avenue under the Veterans Bridge. Epigraph. I have always imagined paradise as a kind of library. Jorge Luis Borges. In my partial view of the bench, it is the shopping bag full of books that catches my eye, radiating colors into the gray background of the bridge pillars. Good morning, I hear as I pass by. A man stands up from the bench, approaches, as if to greet me into his home. Like his clothes, he looks older than he really is. I can tell he spent the night on the bench. His half-awake eyes gleam a blue hope and curiosity, not for me, but rather for the start of a new day. I, drowned in my earthly fears, mutter a good morning back and rush ahead. Thank you for the punch in the face, he says, his eyes radiating a blue anger now. How about I give you a punch in the face, he asks. I want to look into his eyes. I want to respond, don't bother yourself with us mortals who start our days by reviewing our fears. We who live by believing our fears guide us to an eternal heaven. Don't let our gray presence cloud your sunny mornings. You who have given up the delusion of a heaven in this world or the next. You who wandered the earth, carrying your paradise on your back. Thanks. The next one it was published in the Voices from the Attic, volume 28, the most recent one. Daughters of the Earth, after Adam Zagajewski. The knife travels into her flesh, all the way to her bone. Once the knife is pulled out, her body falls on the cobblestone, the carpet, the earth. Her blood flows between the pebbles, mountains, days of the calendar. This could be in Salem of the 17th century, during the 90s in Kabul or Vancouver, 5 nights ago in Hoi, in Ciudad Juarez. Tomorrow, it can be anywhere. There's always someone who pushes the knife, throws her in the fire, casts the stone at her. Someone who, after all, is born from her womb. Can be her father, her lover, perhaps, the benevolent neighbors who raised her, the clergyman in her hometown. That someone who fails to see how her spilled blood penetrates the soil, how it travels into the veins of the new daughters of the earth, those born to reach deeper with their roots, those whose branches will grow to embrace the sky. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bahar. Thank you. When we were doing our sojourn at White Whale, who we love, a great shop, we weren't able to do the open mic, and having it back this year and being able to listen to like so many new voices that we've got to experience, it just makes it clear how much was lost of this series' particular identity without having the open mic. So again, I just want to thank everybody who's participated tonight. I hope you come back again and do it again with us next season, the season after. It's very important to us. We love seeing you again. You don't just have to do it once and you're done, but just keep coming back. Tell your friends. We love to hear new voices. I mean, Joan and I thrive on hearing new voices. I mean, we love the old voices. You guys are great. Really, you're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But we do really, really get excited to see and hear new poets unfamiliar to us that we haven't heard before. So thank you guys so much. for doing that. Our last poet tonight, I can't read it. Is it Skeet Dilby? Sidney? Scott Silsby, I guess. It's Scott Silsby.
I don't have anything to read, but maybe a month or two ago, I was hanging out with Bob Paycheck, and Bobby pulled up some old Hemingway's readings, and we were like listening to old readings, and they sounded great. It was a lot of fun. And then maybe a couple weeks ago, we were hanging out again, and Bob was like, you know, Don is like the great archivist of Pittsburgh poetry. We got to do something to recognize him. And I said, okay, let's do something. So we got Don a 15-pack of beer and a gift card to Dunkin' Donuts to show our appreciation. So thank you, Don.
Okay, here we go. Next, in 2 weeks, which would be August the 27th, we will be having here, my dears, the grand finale, which is what Jimmy always called it. And our readers, our featured readers will be Jim Daniels, Lori Jekela, Dave Newman, Adrian Ramirez, and Michael Worcester, who was right here tonight. So please come back, and yes, we, putting aside my mean girl speech about we love the open mic readers, and it's a little scary, and because when people read here for the first time, then we get to hear their work, and then we go, wow, and we get to talk with them and see what they're up to, and eventually they come back as featured readers. You know, they really, that's how many of us got our start at the, how many of you got your start at the open mic at Hemingway's? Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe more than that, but okay. All right. But so see you in 2 weeks, and thanks, Chris.